Well, hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the HVBC podcast. My name's Doc. I'm the lead pastor of Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church, and it's a real honor to teach and to share God's word with you. And I'm going to start today a series of messages that are titled Reclaiming the Margins. Late last year, I preached a message called The Lost Art of Margin as part of our Lost Arts of the Faith series. And that particular message generated a level of feedback that I don't normally get. It provoked a lot of questions and a lot of cries for help in that area of our lives. And so I thought I'm going to prepare and deliver a series of messages that are aimed at really helping us to reclaim that room and rhythm that God has for us. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've replaced I'm good with I'm busy or I'm tired or I'm stressed out. And I believe that reclaiming the margins of our lives, finding that room and rhythm in God again, it's not the key, but it is a key to unlocking the goodness that God has and God desires for our lives. Because you see, we're no longer good. We've become busy. We've pushed out and live life beyond the limits that the Lord has for us. And we need to reclaim that space. We need to reclaim the room and the rhythm, the margins that God has for us. The Bible describes the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And there's nothing bland or vanilla about goodness. Goodness is God's desire. Goodness is God's intended design for our lives. And as your pastor, I want you to be able to say, I'm good again. And as we look at what the Bible means when it talks about good or goodness, it means these three things. It means beautiful, blessed, and beneficial. That's what the good life is. The good life is beautiful, blessed, and beneficial. The life that's producing the fruit of goodness is a beautiful life, a blessed life, a beneficial life. And so I want us to reclaim that space. I want us to rediscover the goodness that God has for us. And you know, there's nothing about the word good that resembles stressed, striving, struggling, being swamped, being stretched, snowed under, or spiraling out of control. Good means beautiful, blessed, and beneficial. And throughout this series, I want to encourage you to make Psalm 119, verse 68, your prayer, where the psalmist says this, "You, God, are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." You know, there was something about the psalmist that recognized the goodness of God and God's ability to do and produce good in our lives. And in response to that goodness, he cries this prayer, "Teach me your statutes." You know, what's very interesting about this word statutes, yes, it means commands and laws, but this particular word means specifically God's prescribed limits and boundaries for our lives. Do you know God has limits? You know, we live in a world that loves to ascribe to the idea of life beyond the limits or life without limits. But indeed, within God's limits, within God's boundaries for our lives, there is a goodness to be experienced and discovered. And I think if we're all fair, whether it comes to our time or our money or our headspace or our heart space, we'd all say that we've crossed lines. We've lived our lives beyond the limits at times, and we've experienced what is not good. We've experienced stress, worry, anxiety, fear. We've experienced all these things that are not part of God's plan for our lives. But as we've gone beyond the limits, we've experienced things that God never desired or intended for us. Isn't this just what Adam and Eve did back in the garden? They moved beyond the limits. The one tree that was off limits, they went to and they ate from, and they experienced a fall. They experienced a fall from grace. They experienced being cut off from goodness because they lived their lives beyond the prescribed limits and boundaries that the Lord had given to them. And so I want to propose to you this, that the life overflowing with beauty, blessing, and benefit happens as we reclaim the margins or live within the space that God designed for our lives. So I'm going to make this series really easy to remember. and easy to, and as easy to apply as possible. But I can't do all the work for you. The ball really is in your court to receive God's intervention or the transformation and change that he wants to bring. Or perhaps you need to be urgently delivered from a life that's been pushed way beyond the limits, a life that's well and truly spent too much time in the red line. And so I'm going to ask for you to take a step of faith right at the outset of these messages. I'm going to ask you to right now to recognize your need for God in this space, to recognize that you may have pushed your time, your money, your headspace or your heart space beyond the limits that God has for you. You might be right now living beyond those boundaries. And if that's you, I want you to just now before God in your car or in your room as you listen to this message, to just ask God for help, to teach you his statutes, to bring you back into a place where you're experiencing and producing the goodness that he has for you. And so I'm going to teach you five things throughout this series, and we're going to use the acronym SPACE, S-P-A-C-E, as we seek to reclaim the margins and experience the goodness that God has for our lives. And so I'm going to start with S in our acronym of SPACE, and S is for seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God. Here's our first principle today as we look to reclaim the margins and come back into the good life and the space that God has for us. S is for seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God. Matthew 6:33 records Jesus' words that no doubt many of us have heard many, many times as we've journeyed in Christ. And he said this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, it's possible that we've heard these words so many times that we've become overly familiar with them. And the verse starts with this word, but. Jesus is saying here, instead of chasing wealth and feeding worry in our lives, which is the topic that he's addressing throughout his discourse here in Matthew chapter 6, he's saying, instead of chasing wealth and feeding worry, set your sights on the kingdom and the righteousness of God. You know, I wonder how many stresses, how many struggles, how many stretches we might have avoided, or how many of those we might solve in our lives right now by seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. You know, I've discovered the majority of troubles and problems and stresses that I have in my life is simply because I've got the order wrong. I've sought something else first. I've pursued another priority or another goal rather than seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And so I'm going to remind you today that the first portion of our lives, the first portion of our time, our finance, our effort, our headspace and our heart space, these are called to be offered and devoted to God, to seeking first his kingdom and righteousness. And the amazing promise that Jesus makes to us here is that if we are to seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, then the material needs of our lives are going to be looked after. And so perhaps it's the most simple but confronting question that we could ask ourselves as believers and followers of Christ is, am I seeking first my own needs and wants, or am I seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness? Let me put it another way. Am I seeking first provision, or am I seeking first God's purpose? Seek first. The Greek word here is zeteo, and it means to seek after, to seek for, and to aim at. Let me go ahead and ask, where are our goalposts in life? Are our goalposts right now a promotion, a pay rise, an achievement, an experience, a romance, a milestone, a possession, or an upgrade? You know, these are all perfectly fine things, but ultimately these are the things that the second half of the verse speaks to, the things that come after the first things and the first priorities of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. You see, if we're to shift the goalposts from being God's kingdom and righteousness, and we're to shift the goalposts onto these things, promotions, possessions, milestones, romance, experiences, upgrades, if we make those things our goalposts, then our lives become out of alignment and they become off track, and we move from the goal line over to the sideline, and eventually we find ourselves living across the sideline beyond the limits that God has for us. And so I want to ask you, does your first and your best reflect a full-blown pursuit of the goalposts of God's kingdom and righteousness? Reclaiming the margins of our lives, coming back into the space, into the room and the rhythm that God has for us, it starts with what we do with our first and our finest, our first priority, our first effort, our first investment, the first of our headspace and heart space, of our time and our finances. What we do first sets the tone for the rest of our lives, and we are called to seek first God's kingdom, our utmost goal and priority, or to be. If we're living according to the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, our utmost goal and priority should be to participate in seeing more of God's rule and reign upon the earth. Your kingdom come. It's not just our prayer, it's our priority and our pursuit. It's what we're aiming for. It's what we're looking for. It's what we're pursuing and putting our effort towards, the kingdom of God. And we look at what Jesus taught and revealed about the kingdom of God, and we give this our first and our best because we're seeking after it. We're seeking for it. We're aiming at it. These are the goalposts of our lives. But I love that it's not just about what we do. It's also about who we are and how we go about it. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not just about what we do, church. It's about who we are and how we do it. And as we seek first, and as we begin to reclaim the margin in our lives, it's not just about what we're devoted to doing, but how we go about it and the person that we are becoming. I love that God doesn't just give us tasks to perform, but also a person to become, a character to attain to. And you know, we often think of our destiny in terms of what God is calling us to do and accomplish. But God's primary concern when it comes to our destiny is that our attitudes and our behavior and our conduct would resemble Jesus more and more. And we see this in Romans 8, verse 29. It says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. You know, I want to encourage you today, don't see your destiny or your purpose in terms of achievements or accomplishments or things that God's calling you to do. I want to encourage you to see your destiny and your purpose in light of becoming more like Jesus. More like Jesus in your thoughts, more like Jesus in your attitude, more like Jesus in terms of the way you go about your conduct and live your life, more like Jesus in terms of how we relate and respond to other people. And I want to remind us that Jesus calls us to give the first and best effort, time, finance, headspace to his kingdom and his righteousness. I want to do the will of God in the ways of God. I want to give my utmost priority, effort, esteem and investment, my devotion and dedication to seeing God's kingdom and righteousness experienced in and through my life. And so I'm going to humbly and honestly challenge and ask you this today. Is God's kingdom and righteousness being sought first? If we were to sit down together and take stock of your time, your effort, your finance, your headspace, your heart space, would we come to the conclusion that the first and finest part of your life is offered and returned to the Lord in devotion and trust? We're making space. We're reclaiming the margins, and it starts here. S is for seeking first the kingdom and righteousness of God. As we set sail on this series, I want to say this, that the rest of what I'm about to share, the P, the A, the C, and the E, these will probably just break and burden you if we can't get this one right. If we can't set the trajectory and posture of our lives to seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness, then the rest of this series is probably going to prove more challenging and a burden to accept and to apply. And so here's what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to sign up space cadets throughout this series, people who are willing to not just be hearers of the word, but doers, to commit to some form of journey and commitment and application of these messages. And so if you would like to do that, I would encourage you to just email me, doc@hvbc.org.au, and I'll add you to a WhatsApp chat. And this is going to be a series that we're going to journey in together, not just while we hear it, but as we apply it, coming out of it as well. And I'm going to resource you with some documents and some links and some tools that are going to be able to help you to apply the principles that we share throughout this series, Reclaiming the Margins and coming out of it as well. It's not for the faint-hearted, but we're going to start here with seeking first. If you find yourself in the space of being maxed out, burnt out, or stressed out, I encourage you to take the invitation and this opportunity seriously. Grab hold of it with both hands and let's reclaim the margins. Let's come back into the room and the rhythm, the space that God has for us, and let's rediscover the goodness that He designed us for and desires for us. And so I encourage you to reach out, doc@hvbc.org.au. I'll put you in that group chat and let's do the journey together over the coming weeks and months as we seek to reclaim the margins. Thanks for listening today. And I'll catch you for part two really soon. God bless.